Texas has a whorehouse in it. It's not on this damn bracket. Texas has a whorehouse in it. We are here to determine the best 80s musical slash music inspired film. And I have gathered five passionate people to start that discussion. Let's start off by meeting them. First up, the Quad Cities, Iowa. Brian Nash, my friend, how you doing and what are you drinking?
I'm doing fantastic, mostly, other than I was sad to see my favorite not make it in. But it's all right. I'll recover. I'm going to recover by having a little thing from Founders called Dirty Bastard.
Is it old?
It is not. I asked. They apparently, this is the company that used to make a beer called Arrogant Bastard. And I loved Arrogant Bastard, but apparently they've stopped making that one. And according to the person that worked there at the liquor store, I've got Dirty Bastard, though. It's 8.5% ABV, and it sounds something like this. And that was hitting my keyboard, so I managed to keep it off the floor.
There you go. There you go. Verdict?
Ah, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's going to be a fun night.
Oh, we'll take it. We'll take it. We're heading out. Huntsville, Alabama. Nikki, my friend, how are you doing and what are you drinking tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, I'm still recovering from some of the picks that we made before, but I'm here. I'm for it. Want to pick the best film. I am drinking my classic Jack and Coke. I can't lie. What time is it? I've been drinking for a while, so we're going to see how this goes.
We're a few in, yeah.
But I'm excited to pick the next film. It's going to be a good time.
Oh, this is going to be a great time. Speaking of great times, if you need a great time, call Scott Brill, my friend. How you doing, and what are you sipping on tonight?
Yes, it's my name on a wall? What's happening?
It's not a brick. It's
on the wall. That's right. I did erase it from the wall. Oh, boy, the wall. Okay, so I'm doing well. For those who know, I'm usually a teetotaler, so I'm going to be try to play straight. So Pepsi Cola hits the spot, as it will see. And for those of you of a certain age, you know what I'm going to do before I open the can. I'm going to tap the can.
Oh, yeah. Got to do it.
It works.
And it works every time. It will not spray back up at you. Very exciting. And of course, my mother would always make me wipe the top of the can because she would tell me that rats ran over the cans in the factories. That's
my mother and grandmother both told me that. It scared the shit out of me. Yeah,
well, they lived of a different era. They lived in an era when that was probably amazingly true. So, I'm just saying. And probably saw it with their own eyes. So while they worked in the factories. So there you go. They were of a different generation who were hardworking than us. So there you go. And I'm excited to be here tonight with this wonderful category.
Oh, this is going to be fun. This is going to be fun. Let's keep the party rolling. Las Vegas, Nevada. John, my friend, how you doing? What are you drinking? And also, tell our listeners a little bit about Throwback Trivia Takedown.
Sure. I'm going to start with what I'm drinking. Unfortunately, I'm not really doing anything exciting today. I got work tomorrow. I got to get up early for school. So I'm just drinking a Powerade Zero Fruit Punch. It's one of my go-tos. How I'm doing? I'm a little sad right now because, believe it or not, Brian, I love Arrogant Bastard, which is weird because I actually don't drink beer. But I'm going to tell you why it's one of my favorites. My local butcher shop makes a marinade out of Arrogant Bastard, and it is some of the best pork chops I have ever had in my life. And now that you've told me that it's gone, I'm going to be disappointed when my favorite marinated pork chops are not at my local butcher shop, which is a weird thing to say. But I will go to Throwback Trivia Takedown. Is a trivia podcast that I do with my brother Adam, and we kind of focus on pop culture trivia from the 50s all the way up through the 2000s. If you're a child of any of those decades, you will enjoy our show.
I can attest that you will enjoy the show. You guys have a pretty epic tournament going on right now, too.
We do. We allow all of our patrons above a certain level to enter into the tournament. And we used to just let all the patrons into the tournament until one year. The entire tournament took us 10 months to do because we let everyone in. So then we had to come up with a way to narrow that down. So we have some play-ins. And then we have a 16-seed bracket, essentially. and play that to the end. And we're somewhere, we've just finished recording all of the first round. So by the time this comes out, we might have one or two more left in the first round, but we're well into the tournament.
Very nice. Very nice. It's been a fun tournament to listen to. Speaking of fun to listen to, I can't say that. Mike, my friend, how you doing? What are you drinking?
I was going to say, don't lie. Come on. Chris, I am hopped up on allergy medications, half a bottle of wine, couple beers, and now this. Three Chords bourbon, which I chose because of thematic appropriateness from a music/musical perspective.
Oh, I get it now.
That's why I asked you to grab this particular bourbon. Thank you, darling. I'm going to enjoy this. Guys, don't fuck this up, all right? We got some choices ahead, there are some choices that I can be like, okay, yeah, you could go either way, and some that, oh my god, if this goes the way that I don't want it to, we done goofed. And speaking of which, let me hand it back off to Chris.
All right, well, I guess it's my turn. So, Mike, you gave us a cork pop. I'm going to give you a cork pop right back. I brought this bottle back from me last summer when we were out in Portugal for my brother's wedding. I brought two bottles of wine back with me, and I had not opened any of them yet. I started drinking this during the two Patreon bonus episodes, which, by the way, this entire bracket is founded on the decisions we made on our Patreon bonus episode. So if you want to know how the bracket came together and what was left off and what those conversations were like, patreon.com/PTEBB, and you'll get access to all of that by becoming one of our patrons.
Also some ancient posts on the lounge for fans of PTE Network.
We covered that on the Patreon. This here is a red from the Douro region of Portugal. It's called Esteva. The thing that I loved about Portugal is the wine there is surprisingly cheap. This bottle was $6. And my brother, when I showed it to him, he goes, oh, yeah, you can get that in the States. It's like a $35 bottle. Like, oh, so I'm just mad that I didn't bring more home. But
So Chris, you know that Portugal is number one per capita wine consumption, and it's not close.
I do. I can say that because I've been there, and y'all, they can drink. That is a lovely country, a wonderful country. The people are so nice. We were in a little town called Sintra, about 45 minutes outside of Lisbon, a little mountain town. Insanely beautiful. One of the top five places I've visited in my entire life. I cannot wait to go back. But the wine there is top notch. I don't even drink ports. I'm just drinking the regular red. So cheers, everybody. So we're going to jump right in. We have got the one seed, Stop Making Sense by the Talking Heads, taking on the eight seed, the controversial pick that you all made and our Facebook group made, and I vehemently disagree with, Popeye. We're starting this one off with Brian.
So I have opinions about all four of the matchups in this first round. The one possibly that I have the least opinion on is this one. Stop Making Sense is a good concert movie, and Talking Heads are good, but they're not that for me. They're just kind of, they're good. They're not one of my favorites. However, Popeye, God, that was an awful movie. My wife just giggled at me from the other room.
But you're not wrong.
Yeah. It's, I loved Robin Williams so damn much, but this was just a train wreck of a film. Stop Making Sense gets my vote begrudgingly, and we'll talk more later.
Stop Making Sense got the first vote. Next pick going to Nikki.
Yeah, I didn't vote for either one of these for reasons.
For Jeff Goldblum-sized reasons.
I mean, well, my Earth Girls Are Easy should be here. Let's just face it. It's just the way it is. I'm sorry. I'm in agreement. Like, Popeye was not a good film. You know, I don't know if it was Robert Rowan's worst, but it was one of them, to be honest. I'm not a huge Talking Head fan, but it was a great concert film. I will say, like, if you're going to put on a concert film, it was a great version of that. I'm not necessarily a concert film fan. Like, it's not my thing, but I'm going to go for that because I can't vote for Popeye on this. So
I think we need to see your Disney Plus login history to see if you've seen the Taylor Swift concert film yet.
No, but... I mean, all right. Well, okay. I have seen the Eras film because everybody and their mother wants to have like an Eras like concert party. So I've been to several Taylor Swift Eras concert parties and all of them. No, I don't want to watch the concert on a video. So
I will give you that. Well, Talking Heads are up 2-0. Scott, going to you.
Well, you know, it's interesting. This was actually, here's our trivia for the night. This was actually Robin Williams' first feature film. It was made in 1980. He had done work in many, and this is the film that he chose. He chose it because the director was Robert Altman, one of the great film directors, and he thought this was just going to be a phenomenal experience. And it was not a phenomenal experience for anybody involved. Although Robin Williams apparently had a good time while they made it. He and Altman get along. Another weird thing is, if anybody remembers the movie, you in the harbor, there are like all these sunken ships. It's part of the decor of the whole thing. They were all real seaworthy vessels that were sunken for the movie. They were destroyed for this movie. Like, what? God. What are you doing? So just throw more bad money after bad money. Really rather bizarre thing. Also, after they had filmed it and everything was in the can and they brought it back and they're all set, nothing Robin Williams said was audible. He had to redub his entire role because he was doing that Popeye voice, and no one, they couldn't understand a single word he said. So that's kind of fun for Popeye. So I'm voting for not Popeye. No. Yeah. Again, I watched it like a million times as a kid on HBO. But no, I just love the Talking Heads and Stop Making Sense. I don't think is it the greatest thing in the universe? No, but it's certainly more enjoyable than Popeye. There you go. So Stop Making Sense.
John, going to you.
So Popeye is unfortunately one of those movies that I think had great actors in it who just ended up with a horrible movie. You know, Robin Williams, obviously, Shelley Duvall as Olive Oil, Paul L. Smith as Bluto, who played one of my favorite characters, Falcon, in a movie that I do not think made your bracket at all. I'm a little pissed about that, which is the 1985 action fantasy film Red Sonja, which is one of my favorite films, despite how bad it actually is.
And asked and answered.
Yeah, there you go.
I thought it was a play-in game. I think it was a playing game.
It was it?
Yeah. I think it was.
It didn't get the respect it deserved, probably. But this isn't close. It's not making sense.
All right, Mike, finish us off.
I just want the record to show that Popeye made the quote-unquote main music bracket and The Wall didn't.
There you go.
The way the plans shook out, it just is what it is. Scott mentioned Robert Altman, who directed Popeye. Fantastic director. Nashville is wonderful film. Gosford Park is great. He's done a lot of great stuff. Popeye just does.
MASH.
MASH. Absolutely. Absolutely. He took a chance. It didn't work out. But I do want to take a brief moment to talk about the director of Stop Making Sense. If Stop Making Sense doesn't work, it's arguable we don't get Silence of the Lambs, because that was Jonathan Demme. It was his debut directorial debut. It was the Stop Making Sense film with the Talking Heads. I'm sorry. I said the Talking Heads. Oh, God. It hurt even when I said it myself. With Talking Heads. I'm so sorry. Stop Making Sense gets the sweep. We got this one right. Good job, everybody.
Mike, well, you're the type of guy who gives a crap over whether it's Eagles or the Eagles. Nobody cares. Eagles. Nobody cares.
Pedantic asshole, table for one right here.
All right. David Byrne has other things to worry about.
We are moving on. We're going to see what Stop Making Sense is going to go up against in the next round. Is it going to be the 4-seed La Bamba or the 5-seed Amadeus? Nikki, kick us off.
I mean, why do I have to start with this, like, really not fun matchup? Okay. I feel like both of these films, I mean, they're both biographies and are brilliant in different ways. Amadeus is sort of this classic, like, Academy Award winning film, and it delves deep into so much, and it is really just an absolutely beautiful film. Like, if you watch Amadeus, like, it is just, it's just a great film, and it deserves to be in this bracket. And I guess I don't know. I struggle with it in this musical realm because it feels like drama prestige to me. It's just this, like, wonderful film. But if I'm going to watch something, if I just want to put on a movie, like, La Bamba just melts my heart more. Like, it's just, it's a fun film. I mean, not fun, but it's this story, and I feel like it does a biography well, and it does it in a way that I just want to enjoy. Like, you watch La Bamba, and even though it is a tragic story, it is also an uplifting story. So I'm going for La Bamba on this one. I might be this weird person because I know Amadeus is this wonderful film, but yeah, I'm going with La Bamba.
La Bamba's got a first vote. Next pick goes to Scott.
I enjoy both these movies. More trivia. So for La Bamba, the family of Ritchie Valens was on set, and they became very attached to Lou Diamond Phillips. And when they were filming the scene where he gets on the plane, they told the family not to come because they didn't want him to get in the plane. They thought he might die. They thought, because the plane was actually going to take off with Lou Diamond Phillips in it. And they were so distraught, they had to be taken off the set because they didn't want to go through it again, what had happened to Ritchie. So it is a very powerful movie. S.I. Morales is wonderful in it as the brother. And it made a star of Lou Diamond Phillips. It made a star of Los Lobos, the band that actually re-recorded the song La Bamba. The music in the movie, I don't believe any of it is actually Ritchie Valens singing. I think it all is redone by Los Lobos and Lou Diamond Phillips. But it captures an era, certainly my father's favorite era of music, and it's a real story. It's a real true thing. He only was famous really for maybe 18 months, and it's really extraordinary, and we all still know him. That all being said, Amadeus, as we said, is one of those prestige pictures. Not only did it win the Oscar, it was from a Tony Award winning play that was phenomenal. I will quote my husband's favorite line from the play, the emperor goes and hears the music, and they ask him what did he think about it. He goes, "Too many notes." And I think we all might have thought about that, about classical music, at one point or another in our lives. It is funnier than you think. If you go back and see Amadeus, it's actually a very funny film. And Tom Hulce is brilliant in it. He really is. He's so stunning in the movie as Mozart, as this crazy person. That's a tough decision. I love both of these movies, but I will go as kind of the theater guy. I will kind of come down with Amadeus.
Amadeus tied it up 1-1. Next pick goes to John.
I got so much shit to say, I got to try and say it fast or else. All right. First of all, Amadeus is just as much a musical as La Bamba is. All right. Music is just incidental to it. Is there. It's just that it happens to be classical, which I think gets a real bad rap. I also think that the second that he said too many notes, I completely discredited him as a musician, because there is no such thing as too many notes. It is how you use them. Let me finish. Can I finish? I'm doing my best Ross Perot here. If you've never heard Tchaikovsky's Romeo and Juliet, it is the epitomation of too many notes, and it is fucking phenomenal. This is a very tough choice because I do love both of these films. I do love the original music of both of the people that both films are about. And really, it's, in this case, it's going to have to come down to which do I think is the better film. And not unfortunately, but obviously, I think Amadeus is the better film, just barely over La Bamba. So it is going to get my vote.
Amadeus has a vote. Next pick here goes to Mike.
So I made the observation a while back to Chris. I said, of the 80s Best Picture winners, Amadeus was at that time the only one that did not make an appearance on the bracket, at least in a play-in game. And he said, okay, we'll put it in the 80s music/musical area. So I said, that's great. And I was a hardcore advocate for Amadeus. I think it is an absolutely wonderful piece of filmmaking. Scott alluded to how great Tom Hulce is, and and part of the greatness of that performance is we are conditioned as the viewers to perceive Amadeus, to perceive Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart as this like untouchable genius person, and he plays him as this immature buffoon, and that plays so well against the Salieri character, who is the prim and proper, and I have done everything right, and the Lord will grant me with the talent, and he sees the brilliance of Mozart and just the sheer frustration and that he feels for seeing that, and yet the sheer admiration, and he want like that simultaneous push pull in that character. F. Murray Abraham is a phenomenal performance. He deserved that Oscar. It is such an incredible piece of work. It was in every bit, in my opinion, deserving of that Oscar. Honestly, I don't know what it went up against, but I think it's a movie that I really enjoy. It makes you appreciate classical music. At least for me, I'm not like, I play music. I think most folks know that, but I've never learned to read music. I'm not a classical musician in any way. I'm just sort of self-taught, but it made me appreciate it on a certain level. La Bamba is also a very enjoyable film, and I'm sad it's not moving on because it does tell a very interesting story of a very particular time. And it is a movie that you will go back to again and again because it certainly tells a story that is powerful, but at the end of the day, for me, yeah, Amadeus has got to move on here. I just think it's just a wonderful piece of filmmaking.
Brian, what do you think?
So it's 3-1 now, right?
Correct. Doesn't matter.
Okay. Your opinion. Okay. My vote. Thank you for not putting it in my hands. I didn't want to have to make this choice because it's we've got Chavez E. Chavez going up against Pinto from Animal House. I mean, how do you pick? I do think we got it right. I do think Amadeus deserves to move on. La Bamba, I don't speak Spanish, but I can sing every word to that song, thanks to karaoke, because I learned the words to La Bamba despite not knowing what the hell they mean. And yeah. It's dumb. I know. I should actually learn the words or learn what they mean. But my vote also does go to Amadeus.
Amadeus is moving on. We have got the next pick is going to be your 6-3 matchup. Your 6 seed Xanadu, the 3 seed Little Shop of Horrors. That is H-O-R-R. But we are going to start this one off with Scott.
Thank you, sir.
You guys kicked out Best Little Horse Shop in Texas. We could have had.
Yeah. Oh, that would have been great. Horrors versus horrors. Just to have Chris say that. Well, again, as I alluded earlier, I'm a huge Alan Menken fan. I've actually had the privilege of meeting Alan Menken, and he's an amazing composer. For those of you know, after Little Shop of Horrors, he would go on to, with Howard Ashman, to write the music for the Disney musicals Beauty and the Beast and The Little Mermaid. And then he went on, after Howard Ashman died of AIDS, to write many other Disney musicals and other things. They are brilliant, brilliant composers and song craftspeople, and a lot of their good work is here in Little Shop. Somewhere That It's Green is one of the greatest theater songs ever written, and as I alluded to earlier, in this movie we have Ellen Green, who originated the role in New York. It was an off-Broadway show, by the way. This was not on Broadway before it was made into a movie. It was an off-Broadway show. in the 80s. And people heard, there's this wonderful little weird musical that's happening in the village. We've got to go see this. And I came back from Gettysburg College just to see this musical off Broadway, and I was blown away. And then the movie captured a lot of it. The movie did change some of the musical, and I know I've been critical about other movies that were musicals that got changed, but it didn't change it enough to ruin it. It's still a very delightful movie. Rick Moranis is adorable in it. He really is. Audrey 2, the plant, is done very well. It's Mean Green from Mother from Outer Space. And the whole score is great. It's really captures that element of this kind of off-Broadway musical turning into a movie. And Xanadu is Xanadu. I mean, I enjoyed it as a kid, but Little Shop is just more entertaining and thrilling and wonderful. So Little Shop for hers.
There you go. I was waiting for someone to start singing, and then Little Shop's got its first vote. Next pick here goes to John.
If Little Shop loses to fucking Xanadu, I will flip this goddamn podcast. Little Shop gets my vote.
Short, simple, and to the point. I can appreciate that. Next pick here goes to Mike.
Speaking of short and simple, I'm gonna take a page from the LaGuardia playbook here and go Little Shop of Horrors.
Little Shop of Horrors.
Brian,
seven words. Little Shop of Horrors wins. Go on.
Little Shop of Horrors is going on. Let's hear from Nikki.
Little Shop of Horrors, bop shoo bop. I love it. I'm sorry. I mean, Xanadu, the roller skate's fine, but no, Little Shop of Horrors. It was such a fun film. I love it.
Suddenly, right. Nikki is suddenly Nikki.
Well, with that, Little Shop of Horrors is moving on.
I ain't gonna listen anyway.
It's true.
Little Shop has moved on to the final four. We've got one last pick in the Elite Eight before we move on to the final four. The two seed is Chorus Line. The seven seed, Purple Rain. And this one, we're going to start off with John.
So my hot take on Prince is that he was fine. I don't think his songs were like just the most amazing thing in the world. It was fine. They were good songs. I don't think it was anything more magical. My even hotter take is that his solo at the George Harrison tribute is fine. It's not the greatest guitar solo I've ever heard. I don't know. My brother fucking loves that thing. He thinks it's the greatest thing ever. It's fine. It's not the greatest thing I've ever heard. In the case of this, Purple Rain is far superior to a Chorus Line. So in this case, he gets my vote. Purple Rain.
Purple Rain's got its first vote, Mike.
So I'm going to provide a couple counter takes here. first counter take is I definitely will agree that Prince was maybe hit or miss sometimes with his songwriting, but like when he hit, oh my God, did he hit. Second counter take is, okay, the guitar solo, like, was it the greatest guitar solo in the world ever in existence? Maybe not, but like just the way that he rips it off for 3 minutes and the sheer volume of fun that he's having, and at the very end when he throws the guitar upwards and like there's clearly some just roadie that's just sitting there waiting to catch that fucking thing, like when he throws it up, and none of this is to discuss these two films anyway. Look, Purple Rain as a film I think leaves a little to be desired. Like it's definitely disjointed. Like it kind of touches on his family life, but it doesn't dig deep there. And it kind of touches on his developing relationship with Apollonia, but it doesn't really dig deep. Its point is not to dig deep, though. I think that and I'm trying to give it a little credit there. Like if I was going to try and give it some like honest to goodness film related artistic credit, it could be okay. He's a lost kid who is fucking brilliant, and he finds his muse in that moment, and it explodes at the end with this phenomenal concert, and that's great, and it's cool. It is still just from the music, from the sheer power of the music alone, it is the film that I would go to over A Chorus Line. A Chorus Line is fine as a film adaptation of the stage musical. to me, I know there's others that disagree, but it's fine. But if I'm going to go to one of these for the power of the music, it's Purple Rain. I'm still going to listen to the soundtracks of either of these before I'm going to go to the film. But at the end of the day, Purple Rain is going to get my vote.
Brian, going to you.
All right. I voted against Purple Rain in the first round or in the play-ins. I voted for Chorus Line in the play-ins. Scott schooled me on how wrong I was about Chorus Line. No. This was new information. This was information I did not have when I made my choice. You went after me, sadly. Because had there been a buzzer beater and that we could have talked. That said, I mean, Purple Rain, the album is phenomenal. Prince was sadly, a phenomenal guitarist, songwriter. He wasn't an actor. And it was not the best Chorus Line, but it was still a solid movie. Purple Rain was not. I'm giving my vote to Chorus Line on this one because I don't think it matters which one of these we pick.
Chorus Line's got a vote. Next pick here goes to Nikki.
Okay, so I'm also like, okay, Scott, I agree with you. The Chorus Line was not better than the original by any means of the stretch of imagination. They cut out a lot of stuff. But I didn't hate it. I just didn't hate it. I don't know. I didn't hate it. Unfortunately, I'm not a Purple Rain movie fan. I love Prince. I really love Prince. Like, I will listen to him. I will listen to the album. I just did not like Purple Rain. I'm sorry. Like, I know so many people disagree with me, but I didn't like him in the film. He was a jackass. Like, I mean, his whole character was horrible. Like, I understand it was about, you know, violence and that's how he grew up. And, you know, I'm trying to have respect for what it was supposed to be. But it didn't mesh with the album. It didn't mesh with his talent. It felt to me like we're going to throw in a storyline in a Prince concert. I just didn't get it. I'm sorry. So I'm going to vote for a Chorus Line. I did not like Purple Rain. I'm not a Purple Rain fan. I'm sorry.
Chorus Line's tied it up 2-2. We're going to go to Scott, but does anybody want to lodge a buzzer beater to try and sway him one way or another? Scott, I think this is all on you, buddy.
Okay. Mike scared me.
I did a very dramatic microphone scared it up.
Those at home, yeah. Since we're on podcasts, no one know. Okay, so John, I think it was you who earlier in our discussions, I've lost all consciousness. So talking about how you had I believe you said a sexual awakening for Carol Burnett. Well, I have to say for Annie, of all movies, I have to say for embarrassment of my family and my husband, everything, my sexual awakening was Prince in Purple. Purple Rain. Let me just tell you.
Respect. I get
this that. Gorgeous kid, man, weighs about what, 90 pounds? I mean, it was just like, what is this person coming at us? He had an album. It wasn't the Purple Rain album. It was the album before, where he was wearing nothing but like skimpy underwear. And it was like, when you open up the album, it was him lying there. And it was like, okay, there was a lot of looking at that album. So anyway, a lot. Okay. So, the storyline's not great, but here's one thing. He may not have been an actor, but yeah, he was a songwriter and he was a guitarist. He was a performer. That was what he really was. And what the movie captured was him, his electricity as a performer. And that was really thrilling. I wish that he didn't feel the need to take an overdose of fentanyl and needlessly. I mean, I don't understand that at all, but you have everything. You know, in the 80s, man, Let's Go Crazy, the song, if you remember that song, there is a guitar wail at the end of it that simulates an orgasm. And let me tell you.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yep. That's all I will say about that. My friend Leslie and I used to dance at every party. We would request that song, and we would simulate on the dance floor having an orgasm with each other. It was the highlight of our college experience. And so
college wrong, guys.
It was great. It was thrilling. College was thrilling. You got to do stuff like that at frat parties. We even did it at our brother's wedding, I have to say. So, but you know, Prince to me was just a phenomenal, unique entertainer. There was no one like him. There never will be anyone exactly like that performer. So there you go. So that being said, I'm voting for Chorus Line. No, I'm voting for Purple Rain.
Don't do that to me.
You had me for a second. I was like, good. What?
Thank you. Acting. Brilliant. Thank you.
Acting. That's absolutely
acting. Brilliant. Brilliant.
Well, with that, we've got our final four. It's going to be Stop Making Sense against Amadeus, Little Shop of Horrors against Purple Rain. We're starting this one off with Mike. Mike, is it Stop Making Sense, the one seed, or the five seed of Amadeus?
So first of all, I want to announce a bottle kill.
Go down quick.
Yep. In anticipation of, oh shit, I'm going first on this one. I just decided to pour the rest of my three quarts bourbon right into this here glass. So Stop Making Sense versus Amadeus. These films are in a sense, they're of a piece because they both capture the power of music in very different ways. Stop Making Sense. We've said it many times. It's a phenomenal concert film. It's one of the top concert films of all time. It was alluded to earlier. I've not yet seen the Taylor Swift Eras Tour concert. I'm sure that is up there. But Stop Making Sense is routinely rated as one of the top concert films of all time. And having seen it, it's very hard to disagree. Jonathan Demme films that concert in such a way that it actually does have a build in a similar way to a film. So even though it doesn't have a quote-unquote narrative structure in a sense, it sort of does because it builds up to the full band and then it captures their raw power. And there are stories of people dancing in the aisles when they saw that film and everything like that. It is a wonderful piece of capturing a concert that you're not actually at. And then Amadeus, I spoke at length and probably rambled a little bit because, again, bourbon and wine and beer in the previous matchup. But I think Amadeus is an incredible film too, and it captures Amadeus resonates with me so much because it captures when you look at Salieri's perspective, it genuinely captures the frustration of understanding brilliance and wishing that you could grasp it and just knowing that you're not there. And I know Salieri is painted as the villain and not entirely incorrectly, but he's a very flawed and interesting character. There's so much about that movie. God, Stop Making Sense is of a piece of a concert film. But if I'm going to put one of these on and watch it as a film, watching an arc with characters and everything like that, ultimately as wonderful of a concert film as Stop Making Sense is, Amadeus is the film that I'm going to go to for an honest to goodness, like movie experience where I'm watching character development and everything like that. And I hate to give it short shrift for that reason alone, but I think that's where I'm going to draw that line, just because I just think Amadeus is that experience.
Amadeus has its first vote. Next pick here is going to Brian.
All right. Well, I am going to keep it somewhat short and sweet here because I don't think I have voted for Stop Making Sense yet. And I'm not going to start now. Stop Making Sense, I will give credit. It wasn't as far as a watching a concert. It was somewhat entertaining. The whole build of starting out with just the guy and then moving on to adding another musician and then adding somebody else and adding somebody else. That was pretty cool. For a concert, video or concert movie. That's about as well as you can do it. But I'm not. I mean, Talking Heads are good, but they're not phenomenal, and they're certainly not Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. This is an easy pick for me. I'm going Amadeus.
Amadeus has its second vote, Nikki.
I have a lot of respect for concert films. You know, my jest, and again, I'm not like a Swiftie, but at the same time, the Eras Tour, I enjoy it. It's fun. I will watch it. But a concert film to me is not a film. It's a experience. It is something that we gather around to do, and it's a fun time. So for me, I have to go with what is a film. Amadeus is, I'm not going to lie to you, it's not my favorite film. Mike loves Amadeus, and we've struggled with this in our marriage.
I don't think we go that far.
But we've watched it a couple of times, and it's not my favorite. It kind of bores me, to be honest. It's boring. It is. It's boring. It's a little boring. But it is the better film, because I don't feel like a concert film to me is the same thing. So I'm going to go vote for Amadeus, because I do feel like if you're going to vote for the best film, Amadeus is the correct answer. I don't think a concert film touches that. So I'm going to vote for Amadeus.
Well, not since Daniel Day-Lewis and My Left Foot has a film divided a marriage on this podcast.
He hates me right now.
It's okay, Scott. I'm looking at you on that one. But
that's right. I remember that. Yep. Yeah. Hey, Daniel Day-Lewis, I get it, man.
All adult people who make our lives our own choices.
There's nothing wrong with hideously ridiculous question, Christina Ricci. So, like, I get it. We are moving on. No, we're not. We're moving on to the next pick, though. Scott, what do you think, buddy?
I kind of agree with Nikki there. You know, it's a concert film, and Stop Making Sense is wonderful, but it's when you compare these as films, one is a film and the other one is a concert film. We all remember the controversy when Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway named the wrong picture. Well, it wasn't the first time that something bad happened. Laurence Olivier was chosen to give the Best Picture Oscar the year of Amadeus, and he walked out and he simply ripped open the envelope and said, oh, the winner of this thing is Amadeus. Well, the producers had to come out and make sure that that's what the envelope said, or that's what the category he was given. Like, he didn't read anything else. He didn't say Best Picture. He didn't say anything. And so the producer was like, did I win? Like, what happened there? He did it all completely wrong. He didn't even say the Oscar goes to. He just said, oh, this thing goes to Amadeus. So there you go. By the way, Amadeus didn't just win an Oscar. It won 8 of the 11 that it was nominated for, which is not a bad record. And as an actor, we're going to talk about Amadeus. I'm going to say Amadeus is going on. Is that right, Chris? Is that correct? We will hear more about Amadeus. Okay. I'll save the best for last. So yeah, Amadeus.
All right. Amadeus has a vote. Next pick and last pick is John.
All right, so in the end, I think we made the right choice going with Amadeus. However, I disagree about I know you didn't exactly say this, but about the idea of like a concert film not really being a film. I think it is, and if you do it the right way, it can tell a story. And for that reason, and the fact that I don't think it deserves to be swept, I will vote for Stop Making Sense.
No, Stop Making Sense is not going down without a fight, but it is going down nonetheless. Amadeus is in the championship game. It's time to figure out what Amadeus is going up against, because the 3 seed, Little Shop of Horrors, the 7 seed, Purple Rain. Brian, we're starting this one off with you.
I think we're going to have more conversation about this later, but this is a very fast, easy pick, and I predict the sweep. Little Shop of Horrors. Duh. Move on.
Little Shop has the first vote. Nikki.
Absolutely. Little Shop of Horrors.
All right. Scott.
Oh, Steve Martin is the dentist, man. Guess what Alan Menken was being forced by his family to be before he became a composer? A dentist. And that is why he wrote that song and why it's so funny and so powerful. Little Shop of Horrors, bop do bop.
And just think, somewhere in the North Pole, there's an elf trying to be a dentist. And his
there parents. Is. Every year.
Go, Herbie, go. Mm.
Little Shop is moving on, but I want to hear from everybody. That includes John.
So part of me really wants to be a dick and just vote for Purple Rain so Brian's prediction can't come true.
I love you too, man.
But I'm not, because the truth is, yes, Little Shop of Horrors should move on, so it gets my vote.
All right. And Mike, do we have the sweep?
Very similarly to John, I was sitting here going, I'm last pick. Should I just be a dick? I have a beef with Little Shop of Horrors in this. Well, not in this matchup, but just in general. Because I saw Little Shop of Horrors in 1988 when I was living in Japan. And the reason I bring that up is because I saw Batman in 1989 in theaters when it came out. And for years, I had professed that Batman was the first PG-13 movie that I ever saw. And then going back to review this bracket, I discovered that Little Shop of Horrors was in fact a PG-13 movie. So Little Shop of Horrors is the first PG-13 movie that I ever saw from now henceforth until the end of time, I suppose. I don't know why I'm telling this story. I guess I'm taking up time. Little Shop of Horrors, yes, come on. Like, look, don't get me wrong. I love Purple Rain, but I'll listen to the soundtrack. Little Shop of Horrors as a film is far and away superior. Like Purple Rain, like, you know, there's times when it comes across as, like, yeah. Anyway, I don't want to even get into that. Little Shop of Horrors, sweep it. Move it.
Little Shop of Horrors is sweeping its way into the championship game. Before we move on, I've got to ask this, because I didn't research it, and I probably should have. There is an older version of Little Shop of Horrors. Is it the same? The one with Jack Nicklaus? Is it the same premise?
Yes. Or? So they based the musical. They were tasked to base the musical on that movie. So that was their task, and so it's not the same exact plot, and it's not the same thing. But yes, that is the movie that they were writing. The musical.
Scott is completely not wrong. I just need to say something. There is no golf associated with it. It was Jack Nicholson in the movie.
Yeah, Jack Nicholson.
That's Jack Nicholas.
You no. did. You I'm did. Sorry. I had to call you out for it.
There's no golf in the movie.
There's no golf.
There's no golf in the movie.
Now, although Steve Martin, being a dentist, I guarantee plays golf at some point. Off screen, like, let's be real.
Okay, well, we're moving on to our championship game. Nikki, you're gonna kick us off here. I have turned the timer off. Talk to your heart's content. Is it going to be the 5-seed Amadeus or the 3-seed Little Shop of Horrors?
Okay, I feel bad. I don't have any love for Amadeus. I've tried. Mike has told me how much he loves that movie. I've watched it a couple of times. I don't get it. I'm trying to. I really am. I mean, I get the brilliance of the photography. I get the brilliance of different things. It's boring. I'm sorry. It's boring. Little Shop of Horrors. So much fun. Steve Martin. It is such a joy. I love watching that movie. Yeah, I will say I've seen the stage version several times before the movie, but I think even though it's not exact, and I will say that the movie version takes liberties with some things, it is a great version of a musical. It is fun. It is just, I don't know. I feel like everybody who watches Little Shop of Horrors just thinks it's fun. I mean, so yeah. I'm going to vote for Little Shop of Horrors. I'm not going to go into it more.
Little Shop's got its first vote. Scott, what do you think?
Well, you know, it's interesting. These are, they're so different from each other, and yet they're two of my favorite things. Which kind of, you know, it's like you can like love two different things. I'm going to bore Nikki here, but as an actor, I cannot help but do this. This is one of the, this is just one of the greatest speeches out of Amadeus, and it really shows the power of what we're talking about. This is Salieri. On the page, it looked like nothing. The beginning was simple, almost comical, just a pulse. Bassoons and horns like a rusty squeeze box, and then suddenly, high above it, an oboe, a single note, hanging there, unwavering, until a clarinet took over and sweetened it into a phrase of such utter delight. There was no composition by a performing monkey at all. This was music I had never heard before. Filled with such longing, such unfillable longing, it had me trembling. It seemed to me that I was hearing the voice of God. That's Amadeus in a nutshell. And you said it, Mike, you perfectly captured Salieri. He can't stand this little monkey Mozart. But my God, he realizes this is the voice of God amongst us. This is someone who is that talented that pushes him, of course, whether this is ever true or not, to want to murder him. It's a very brilliant thing. And it is true. Mozart died a pauper. No one knows where he was. He was buried in a pauper's grave. And he was only 36, I think. And so, you know, and he started composing when he was already famous when he was five. Okay, so Salieri, live with that. Live within your era. There's already this kid who is not only good, he's better than you will ever be and ever could possibly dream to be, and you've studied your whole life. So I think that is why this movie resonates with so many people, is that the classical music is wonderful and that's what it's about, but it is also about this competition we might have with people that we think we're doing this wonderful job, and someone comes along and they're like so much better than we are, and we will never be as good as they are. And it's a very powerful thing for anybody. Peter Schaeffer wrote it, so we should mention the who wrote it. He brilliant playwright and brilliant person. His brother Anthony Schaeffer wrote plays as well, Death Trap and other things. And so, but they stunning writing here. That being said, the lyrics, if you go back and listen to the lyrics of really any song in Little Shop, especially Somewhere That's Green, it is so poignant. All this woman wants is a 15-inch television to watch I Love Lucy on in a little lawn with a picket fence, because her life is so horrible in Skid Row, and she's abused by her boyfriend, and so her big dream is this dream of suburban life that she sees like on television shows like Father Knows Best. And that's powerful too. And that is also, you know, the leads of Little Shop of Horrors are not glamorous people. It was Rick Moranis and Ellen Green, you know, very nerdy looking people, you know. And so that's why I think Nikki's right. So many people identify it. Little Shop is absolutely one of my favorite musicals. It was because of the strength of it that Disney hired Alan Menken and Howard Ashman. They saw this amazing talent with these two men. And so it's extraordinary. So, you know, it's funny. I'm torn in a way because, yes, I'll watch either one instantly. Little Shop is so watchable. But I'll come down and reiterate Laurence Olivier. Well, I'm just going to give this thing to Amadeus.
Amadeus has picked up a vote. All right. Next pick here goes to John.
All right. So in truth, I'm actually fine with either one of these films winning. I think this is the championship matchup that should be. So I'm fine with either one. I mean, so much has been said about each one, so I won't drag it on too much. I'm in favor of Mozart, so Amadeus gets my vote.
Amadeus is a 2-1 lead. Bringing it to Mike.
Yeah, I think that if I'm looking at the way the bracket started and how it panned out, I don't have any fault. I think this was probably the correct final matchup based on the way that everything had to shake out. Little Shop of Horrors is such a wonderfully campy and brilliant and enjoyable adaptation of its musical to the screen, and the way they shot everything and the way that they did certain things. Like, so I read something, and I don't know if it's true or not, but apparently the dentist's office was supposed to be even more like gritty and dreary and everything like that. And they decided, okay, we need to clean it up a little bit. But Steve Martin goes, okay, but I'm going to punch the nurse. Yeah. Like, I don't know if that's true or not, but I just love that. Like, that whole sequence is just brilliant. And Scott made that crystallize in my head a little more about, I'd never really completely put it together about how these are two put upon people that find each other with Seymour and Audrey. It really is a very enjoyable and wonderful musical. The songs are memorable, and it's a wonderful adaptation. And there is honestly part of me, I didn't know which way I was going to go, and there's part of me that wants to kick the can down the road and see how this goes, but I just cannot do it because I fought very hard. Well, I don't want to say very hard. I don't even want to say hard. I'm going to say that I sent Chris a text and say, hey, put Amadeus on there. I don't even know. But I do remember realizing at some point, like, my God, Amadeus doesn't make an appearance. And Amadeus is a wonderful film. And it is, I know, look, my wife and I disagree with on this, and that's okay. Hey, let this be a lesson to everybody. Marriages, you can disagree with certain things, and they can still work. It's fine.
So I say.
I mean, you know, ask me again in a month, I guess. But I think Amadeus is such a wonderfully. I genuinely think it's an entertaining film. I do not find it boring. It engages me for the emotional stakes and just there's so much going on in that film. I definitely would agree with the argument that maybe it belonged more in the drama prestige bracket, but we're not voting for quote unquote what fits the particular theme. We're just and it is, and John said it. It is a music themed movie. It is fundamentally about music and the power of music to uplift and the power of music to redirect our thinking. And so there's so much in that movie. It's a beautiful film. I love it. I could watch it again and again. It still enthralls me. Little Shop of Horrors, close to equally so. It's wildly entertaining. I'll watch it again as well. This is a great final matchup, but Amadeus is going to get my vote.
Hey, guys. This is Chris from the future. Just wanted to give you all an update. Nikki did file divorce paperwork shortly after this recording.
I have to say, if my husband didn't like Amadeus, I wouldn't stay. That would be a bridge too far.
I didn't like it.
All right, Brian, we're going to you.
All right. I said at the start that I've actually not seen Amadeus.
But you want to now.
I absolutely do, and I will, and I'm looking forward to it. But it's going to be 3-2 because when I looked at the list of everything on this list, I went, okay, well, this is obviously going to be Little Shop of Horrors is going to win this, the whole thing. Because it was, for me, the movie to beat. I'm not unhappy to see Amadeus win, but this was Rick Moranis and Steve Martin and Bill Murray. Don't forget about Bill Murray.
Oh, yeah. Now, I should say one more thing. If they had stuck with the original ending, Little Shop might have had more of a chance.
That is true. They changed the ending.
Yep. So, yeah, my vote absolutely goes to Little Shop of Horrors. Not discrediting anything Amadeus. I'm not unhappy to see it move on. But my vote was vehemently for Little Shop of Horrors.
Well, with that, Amadeus is our champion in the best 80s musical and music-inspired portion of the bracket. It's moving on. It will be in the play-in game for the main bracket, going up against the winner of the best war film from the 80s. And that's going to be a tough bracket, too. But we got more of these brackets coming your way. We're still roughly, Mike, are we even halfway through this yet? We're a little over halfway through by now.
I actually think this might be the halfway point.
There you go. We're tipping the scales.
We got Mike and Chris, can I throw something in? Yeah. Chris, the email that I just sent you like only an hour before we started today was, why is Amadeus? It's not like these other things. It's not a movie musical. And you said, we're keeping it in. And here I am voting for to win the whole thing. But I have to say, I agree.
Theme.
But you know, but Brian is right. But you know, Little Shop of Horrors really could have easily won this and probably is the quintessential as far as a movie musical of the 80s. It probably is that.
Let's be clear. Had I been one of the panelists, it would have moved on.
This has been a hard bracket because it's like trying to put all these 80s music movies in the way they need to go. But yes,
it's going to be the championship bracket is going to be insane.
Amadeus is not a musical.
It's music centric.
It is not a musical.
I that's exactly what I said, Nikki, to Chris about an hour ago.
Ask the answer, though, because John brought it up. Coal Miner's Daughter isn't a musical.
Right. There are many things that were musicals, right.
So it's musical and music-centric movies, and we have our winner. It'll be Amadeus. If you like the content we bring you on a regular basis, head on over to patreon.com/PTEBB. You can get all of the bonus content there, bonus brackets. All of our play-in games are on there. But you've heard enough from us. Check the show notes for all of our information for the Boozy Bracketology Podcast. I have been Chris.
My Nikki.
And I have been Scott.
I was probably John.
I think I was Mike.
Holy shit, this was a ride. I'm Brian.
We will see you next week with another bracket. Until then, have a good one.